We'll take your Bible in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 1st verse, starting there. Appreciate the song and all the work that everybody did yesterday. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, starting the first verse. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stirred up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the word which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Let's pray together, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all Thy blessings You've given us in Christ Jesus, for the word that's already gone out, and how You blessed us from on high. We just pray, Lord, You would bless us during this message, that You'd open up our understanding, that Spirit would have sway in our hearts. Pray for those without Christ, that You'd have mercy upon them. But please Thee, O Father, that they would be deliver them from their sins and wickedness. And, Lord, that You'd edify the saints and strengthen us, that we could be and should be this, as believers, O Lord, that others could see Jesus Christ in us. We praise Thee and thank Thee in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. The Lord will come and not tarry, or we could say, as in our passage, they were willingly ignorant. We need to stir up our pure minds and not emotions to the truth, which seems to be the opposite of the way the world thinks, the way man thinks, the way you just talk to somebody without Christ, and a lot of people have been brought up as youth in church, but they still have the wrong perspective and of the truth or of the Word of God. And to the opposite of the will, that most today think if man says one thing, you almost can write it down that the opposite's true. When they talk about spiritual things and the right and wrong, morality, and all the other things, the things that we accept today as being moral is totally and absolutely rejected by the Scriptures. So we need to stir up our minds to remember the things of God, to remember the Word of God, of the prophets and the commandments that went on before us, and let not these trivial things get in our way of the weightier things, and to stir to remembrance the true Word of God. We think about the things spoken in the Old Testament prophets, New Testament apostles, and in these last days, for the scoffers are here. Of course, they've been here since the time of Christ, but nonetheless, we find them in full force today, and in our country, they almost have total sway over what is called Christianity. We think that God, by His Word, reveals to us the truth in some things. I just wonder how a rational person, I mean, discounting the Spirit of God, how a rational person can take some of the Scriptures they take and twist them like they do and say this is the Word of God. And especially then, as we are inspired by the Holy Spirit, as we look into the Word of truth, we see how wicked these things are. They're just not just, well, that's just the way they believe. There's some things we could say that about. Well, they hold to this, we hold to that. But there's some things that, if you will, cross the line. And this is speaking, of course, of these scoffers that have come in the last days. They mockingly ask the question, being an accusation against God Almighty, when in our word, as we'll look into it, but they said, where is it? Where is, you know, where is this Christ, is what they're saying. Everything's continued on just like it has, and they discount the flood altogether. Now, in our day, there's a lot that call themselves Christians that discount the flood altogether. And so we see that if we're not in the end times, we meet all the criteria that are given to us in this third chapter of those scoffers that have come in the last days. They scoffed at the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God as creator, the flood, the future judgment of God, and God's faithfulness in every generation. And they accused God of foot dragging and God's long suffering, and they, if you will, mock God, and God's not willing that any should perish. The scoffers in verses 3 through 7, they treat the word of God with contempt. They ridicule the teaching of the Lord's glory coming, and if you will, they drop some things that the scriptures teach, and one of those things, of course, is the flood. And they're usually the same crowd that ridicules the teaching of the Lord's first coming, his virgin birth, crucifixion, bodily resurrection, and we just go on and on and on. We could talk about the crossing of the Red Sea and all those things and how people call that into question. You say, well, preacher, you know, that word means this, that, and it doesn't make any difference where it means peanut butter. If you can launch a ship on it and go to Africa to get some peacocks, then let me say to you, you might need God to open it up for you to walk across. And so they talk about the reed, knee-deep water, and so on and so forth, but that's not what the scriptures say. We find the clarifications, for instance, in the psalm where it talks about the sides are congealed. They lead astray, and many astray. They're in 2 Timothy 2:18. 2 Timothy 2:18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You say, well, that was their teaching then. We got the same teaching now. Historical mill or historical trib or any of those things, they're saying really it's already happened, or that we're actually living in the millennium. And I checked just the other day, and Jesus is not in Jerusalem yet. I don't think that this is the millennial. But there are those that teach that, and this is one of those things. Some people say, well, that's just where they off just a little bit on the end time, but they're straight on everything else. Those that are those that walk in their own lust, in 2 Peter 2:10, that we had looked at, and chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despising governments presumptuously are they self-will. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And so we say, well, you know, we got some bad officials and so on and so forth. If you believe that God has put them in place, there's two reasons that we find the scriptures for people that God puts in positions of authority. One is to bless his people, and two is for judgment. And we see both of these carried out in the Old Testament. And who was Nebuchadnezzar? God said, this is my servant. What was he doing? He's bringing judgment against those that call themselves God's people. And so when we look at these things, we say, well, how could we say that such an evil person, you know, could be put in place by God? Then you have to sit back and count, am I living for God as I ought to? Am I holding to the Word of God like I should? And are the people of God in America living that way? If you say there is, then there might be a question we could ask, but we know that's false because they're not. And let me say to you, when the wicked suffer, the righteous do too. Somebody says, that don't seem right. Well, Jeremiah wrote a letter to those in captivity, and he told them to pray for peace for that city. What city? The city of Babylon, their enemy, the wicked idolatrous group there. I mean, they was worse than anything you could ever imagine. I mean, they were even compared to Israel. But it says, "Where therein shall ye have peace." In 1 Timothy, 2 chapter, where it tells us to pray for our government, pray for everybody in charge, our magistrates and all that, that we might live a honest and godly life, or godly life, honest and godly life. What does that mean? That, if you will, it's hard to live for Christ in wicked times. And we see that as we living now. The lust is, of course, inordinate affection, if you will. This is in the churches, and it always amazes me when somebody does something that is absolutely anti-scripture, anti-church, against the covenants and everything else, that people just forgive them and pass on like it's nothing. In the last days, people will be motivated in self-interest and please them regards the effect it has on others. Where in 2 Peter 3:4 in our text, where is the promise of his coming? The saints were looking for the Lord to come at any moment. Paul says, we that are alive and still remain. And so Paul believed he could come in his day. And these were mocking, where is he? In Isaiah 5:19, they said, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. I don't know how many years later, because you can get in commentaries and all that trying to figure it out, I don't know how many years later came Nebuchadnezzar knocking on the gate. Where is he? He says he's going to bring this great judgment up on this country, and where is it? And yes, it came. There wasn't any, if you will, hollering that in the days that Nebuchadnezzar started to take the wall down. There have been and always been mockers, and usually of the worst kind and the worst time. In Amos 5:18 and through 20, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very darkness and no brightness in it? Where was Amos at? He's in the northern kingdom. They'd sent up there at Dan and in the south, in Bethel, they'd set up idols, the golden calves, and this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. And so they's all worshiping, you know. They worship not only God, they worship about every idol you can think about. And some of them's looking for the day of the Lord. And Amos says, why are you looking for that? For you it's going to be darkness and not light. Many today are saying they're looking for the Lord's coming. But for them it's going to be darkness and not light. When the saints are taken out, raptured out, and they're still behind, they say, well, I was as much a Christian as anybody else. Let me say to you, if you haven't been born again, you're not saved. And just about as blunt as I can make it, all things continue. They claim that creation process continues today. Just everything's continued as was it from the beginning in our text. It's so slowly, it cannot be observe, this is remarkable, if you will, belief of evolution, uniformitism, and is completely dominates our society. That whatever creation there is, it's ongoing. But it's so slow that nobody can perceive it. And so we're continually being evolved into a superior race. I don't know if we're going to have antennas like some of these shows show us on television, you know, as we evolved into these new creatures, that we're going to have no blood or have blood or have brains this big and bodies this big. I mean, that's the vision that scientific people or our people that make up movies think that we're evolving into. And some try to say that we got bigger brains today than we had years ago. And let me say to you that smaller people, and we take that, you know, there has been societies 3 feet and 4 feet and so on and so forth. Usually the brain cavity is not as big. It doesn't mean that they wasn't smart. It just means that their head was proportioned to their body. Now, I know some people are not that way, but they use that as evidence that, you know, we're smarter now. And then if you find the brain, or if you find the skull that's a lot bigger, that's an anomaly. That's not the real thing. That's just an anomaly. It may have sifted down from the upper layers. We found this big-headed person here. Now, the evolutionists that don't believe that particular, they say, oh, no, you're wrong. You're wrong about that. It has been made the basic premise of origin beginning, not only in science and history, and also in social science, humanities, fine art, particularly every discipline that you'll find in college literature has been infiltrated and has been, if you will, overpowered by these ideals of evolution. The study and practice of the world, this indeed is the most remarkable fulfillment of Simon Peter's, if you will, word. There's not a place in the world where this is not taught. You cannot go anywhere where this is not being taught. Some Christian schools still don't teach it. But some of them don't teach it outwardly or bluntly. Some actually just put it in the literature without calling it what it is. And they'll state the definition and rather the word in their teaching and training. I know of a place where they, in order to get their license, I mentioned this before, it always seemed ironic to me that people that would stand against evolution would allow it in their Christian school in order that they might have certification for certain things. This indeed is the most remarkable fulfillment, as we mentioned, and I believe we are really living in the last days. Somehow the Lord brings about a great revival or truth, and we would say, well, maybe it's for a later time. We've had several awakenings, and instead of bringing judgment, God is blessed in these things. But when we go by what the scriptures speak of, that it would be in the last days, that we are looking at that time. These are willing and ignorant is remarkable. If you will, the universal domineering teaching of these things all over the world. There is no scientific or historical evidence that has significant evolutionary changes in the way that they describe them any way, shape, or form. And we think about the laws of thermodynamics, if you will, and if you will, to prove genuine microevolution is impossible if the laws are true, the laws of probability. I got that from Morse. So they are willful ignorant. They're without excuse. Those that hold to this will meet Jesus Christ at the white throne judgment and give an account. How they blasphemed him, blasphemed his word, led God's people astray, led others astray, led their families in the way of wickedness instead of the way of righteousness, and have to give an account for all those things. There in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What is He saying? He just says, look out the window. If you can't see God in it, then you're without excuse. Because it declares that God is. Now, I know some of what the creation that started some trillions or billions of years ago, or the outward existence of matter was out there for eternity and so on and so forth and all that, but nothing holds true. I was thinking while Brother Terry was bringing this lesson and this healing of this leper, I think of four theories that are given for this healing. Now, the brother nailed it. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Jesus did it. And He didn't tell that guy not to tell anybody so that he'd get more fame. He done it so it'd keep the fame level down. Some teach that Jesus was deceptive in that. Some teach us that all you got to do is say, well, if you will, Lord, you can heal me of whatever it is. And the Lord has to, because you said if you will. That's not in the Scriptures. It is like that with most Scriptures, if you will, today. God is the creator of the heavens and were of old. The evolutionists, whether they be atheistic, pantheistic, a deistic, and the deistic is, you know, you just substitute human ideals and mind, ability to look at things and determine them, and that's what the truth is rather than what God's Word says. Deists fit into this, the theist, evolutionary, theist evolutionist, and these are willingly ignorant of God's testimony about the heavens and the earth. And they did not evolve by continuing revelation that here we had this mess of matter out there, and little by little by little by little, you know, you come. First thing you know, you got a moon and sun. And then you get to a few million years, you know, and have a big explosion on the earth and shoot up a moon. And then the moon starts going around. And of course, you're not to life yet. And then we got to have the trees coming. And then after they get settled, after a few million years, get some animals in there. And they keep evolving, 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 evolving. Finally, you get a man. Microevolution, this takes multi-trillions of years. I know they talk in billions, but you look at what some of them say, and when they'll say that, they'll hint that, you know, these 5 billion years is not enough for micro-creation. So, I think anybody was taught the truth when my children were going to school. The principal called and said, well, preacher, we know the evolution's not right, but he said it's required. And said, you know, they would fail that grade if they don't, you know, that science part of the school. And I said, well, just give them an F. He said, what? And he was my cousin on my mother's side. He said, now, George, you don't want that. I said, I'd rather for them not to know evolution whatsoever. I'd rather for them to stand for the truth than to stand for a lie. And I said, I know that your teachers are teaching it like this is what they say. But I said, that's not sufficient because you're teaching it. When I was in school, they taught it as a joke. This is a joke. This is just what they say. We don't pay any attention to this. But then it was different. It's what they say. Who was the they? The scientific community. They were saying this is the way it is. The point I'm making is that they're willingly ignorant, and too many Christians have fallen for it. God's omnipotent word, fully complete and functioning from the beginning of the world. Exodus 20:11, for 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. God declares it was finished in 6 days from nothing. In Hebrews 4:3, for we which have believed do enter and rest, and as it says, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, that's 4:10. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? What works were finished from the foundation of the world? Everything that there is. When it said God rested on the seventh day, does that mean he just quit working? Well, Jesus says, I work and the Father works, even to this time, in another passage, and that's a paraphrase of it. Means I couldn't quote it just exact. What do you mean by that? Well, this is the work of creation. And it took 6 days. And God rested on the Sabbath. That didn't mean he quit working. He still was dealing with Adam and Eve after that, and then Noah, and so on and so forth. But he didn't have to create another thing. He didn't have to get in and say, well, I made this mistake with these dogs. I'm going to have to change something here. I made a mistake with this or that or the other, and we're going to, you know, correct that a little bit here or there. No. He looked on what he'd made, and he saw it was very good. That was God Almighty said that. And then Noah, in his day, they had gone as wicked as you can get. And it's in the verse before, it says that Noah found a grace in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us in that verse that the whole world, the whole thing was corrupt. No good in it. He says, I'm sorry I made it. And then it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What kind of man was Noah? Is he a good guy? Has he been brought up, you know, and by his parents, and that he learned about God Almighty and he was living for God? The verse before said all of them gone. What is grace? He took a wicked man named Noah, granted him grace, and made him his own. And through that man, God repopulated the whole world. He didn't recreate it. He didn't correct it. He just, if you will, had been reformed some by the flood, of course, and there's other things that changed, but nonetheless, his creation stayed the same. He didn't create a new thing. Yes, creation and the flood are real. 2 Peter 3:6-7. Earth standing out of the water, in the water, were willingly ignorant. Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, and the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. And the fossil records concur. We don't have time to go through the evidence. I'm talking about secular evidence that this is true. They say, well, the fossils do this. They tell us this. And they get these layers and there's so many billion years and so on and so forth. Because it takes a lot of pressure to make a fossil. If you don't have any pressure on it, it just rots and disappears. Now you got to put that thing under pressure. Now the world was covered with water about 15 cubits above the high mountains. That's a lot of pressure. A lot of sediment. A lot of changings of the face of the earth, if you will, by natural causes. And so what we have there is those layers. You know, down in Texas, they found one of these human beings down with a dinosaur. We know that's wrong, didn't we? So they he really wasn't there. That is, that he had slipped down somewhere through the strata. Willingly and on purpose, ignorant. The floods worldwide, the Bible says it was. They were willing and ignorant that the world is now reserved for fire. Now, if the flood didn't, if the flood that God said he brought didn't happen, then you don't have to worry about the fire. Because it says that as there was a flood, that's never going to happen again, but the world now reserved for fire. And so if the flood didn't happen, then the fire's not. And so we escaped that. But the problem is the flood did happen. The whole world was flooded. And the fire, this earth is reserved, and not only this earth, but the heaven and earth is reserved for fire. The elements going to melt. This world's going to be totally melted down. And so are the heavens. They're willingly ignorant of this because they reject the flood, therefore they reject the fire. And their wicked teaching is if the flood did not happen, then we don't have to worry about the fire either. As we mentioned before, believing a lie will not stop the final judgment. It's just like somebody says, there's a meteor heading for Hartsel, and it's going to touch down at 2 o'clock. And they observe and they're tracking, and somebody says, I don't believe that's true. I believe that's just a lie. This government's conspiracy, they're just nothing to it. So you stand there, and then when Hartsel's hit, then you go with it. Because that's the way people who hide their hands in the sand, heads in the sands, and, if you will, ignore the truth. Now, I know that example is not very good, but what God says will happen exactly like he says it'll happen. Yeah. And the ungodly will know that that the lie is a lie in that day. In Revelation 29, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints above, about, and the beloved city, and fire came down, from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and the brimstone, where the beast and the prophet, false prophet, are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Gone! Somebody said, well, what people going to stand on out there? You got a white throne, all these people. Their bodies is done gone. This thing is not going to be there. Not going to be there. I'm talking about this flesh and blood is not going to be there. I'm not going to need oxygen to breathe. I'm not going to, and I could go on and on and on, the things I'm not going to need. Those standing on the other side of that white throne judgment, they're just like that. What's supporting them, God? We're going to be on Jesus' side, standing on this side with Jesus and behind Him. What we going to be standing on? Our support will be by God. Now, however He does it, that's His business. There's no heaven. He said it fled away. There's no earth. Said it fled away. Means they're not there. So if you're looking for the judgment over in Jerusalem somewhere, as some teach, and Jesus is going to set up a throne there in Jerusalem and judge everybody out of it, you're going to be disappointed. Those standing on the other side, they may have been sincerely evolutionists. They may have been sincere about everything they believed in God. But they were sincerely wrong. Those that said that this day would not happen are going to be there and witness it. None will be shouting evolution. None will say, well, I believe in the Big Bang. There's not going to be any of that nonsense on that day. And many might desire the flood of the water on that day, in that day of fire. All will we that were willful ignorant will be, if you will, smart that day. All their ignorance washed away as Jesus stands before them at the white throne judgment. Are you a scoffer or a believer? Don't we swayed by scoffers? They say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. We were not to be persuaded by them. They're mocking because he who inhabits eternity has a different perspective that we can trust in. His time to him is irrelevant. When it says a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day, it means to God time doesn't matter. He didn't say, well, let me look my watch here. It's irrelevant to God. And we say, well, if God's going to do this, then we're going to 1980 and 48? One of the 45, I guess it was, or 42, whatever it was, Jehovah's Witness said Jesus coming. But He didn't come. He'll come at God's, if you will, time schedule. That's absolutely true. And when it comes, it shall not tarry. It shall happen exactly like He says it. It will not be a second early or a second late. God moved forth. He created time, if you will, when there was no time spare, a space commit, a continuum. Before God created it, God just was or is. Time is for us. That's who's time's for. I don't know what we do. We didn't have a clock. Some of us wouldn't be here this morning. So, oh, I forgot Sunday. Well, we don't have a Sunday because no time. No. We have a time. In Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God framed it with the Word of God. Jesus spoke and it come into existence. It says, by Him was all things created. When it speaks of God speaking, that's Christ, the voice of God, the revealer of God, He that, if you will, is the exact representation of God in the flesh, He is the one before He was Christ in the flesh. It said, let there be light. And there was light. You say, where did it come from? By the Word of God. There was no matter there. There was just God. That's all there was. And God framed it And we got a Genesis account that tells us exactly how he framed it. He said this, and this is what happened. He said this, this is what happened. We have that for 6 days. Let the waters bring forth. Let the land bring forth. What do you think happened when he said that? Somebody said, well, you know, it took 30 years to get a grown animal, you know, maybe, and elephants, you know, 100 years or whatever some people say, or just dinosaurs. When Adam came to consciousness, he was full grown. He wasn't a baby, never was a baby, never was a teenager. He just born full grown. How'd God do that? God says, let's make man in our own image. In the image of God, made he him. Well, why did he do it? Well, he took a lump of clay out there or dirt, and he took that and breathed into that the breath of life, and it became a living man. Yeah, time is irrelevant to God. And stir up our minds in the Holy Scripture and leave our emotions at home. Philippians 1:10, that they may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, the resurrection, if you will, is speaking of the rapture. Now, some were teaching back in their day, the resurrection's already happened. What are you talking about, a letdown? That would be if you believed them. Well, I thought Paul said we're going to be lifted out of here. I thought with the resurrection, it was going to happen, and we'd be taken out of here. But they would say, no, it's already occurred. It's already occurred. We're living in a trib or a millennial. We're living in that time now. Historical. Millennial. But that's not the way it was. Paul speaks of a small group, of a similar group, if you will, was given over to fables. 1 Timothy 5:6 Now the end of the commandment is charity of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved and have turned aside to vain jangling. Most of what you hear today, even so-called preachers in different ways, just vain jangling. This is left out of it. So it makes it vain. And if it's not the Word of God, then it's jangling. It's just worthless words. Use a lot of jargon. I used to in my younger days, and then I got ashamed of myself. I would sit there and listen to a preacher and try to figure out if he believed the Holy Spirit was a person or not. Somebody said, well, now that's just camelite. No, there's a lot of Baptists believe that too. So you can't blame it all on camel. And I listened to how they spoke of the Spirit of God, and I pretty well could mark them which one believe that the Spirit of God was true or real. And these are all Baptist preachers, by the way, and all of them that I'm speaking of were professors and teachers at the seminary or at the Bible college. So I'd sit there. One of the brethren asked me what I was doing, and I told him, he said, we should be praying for them, not. So that's when I was rebuked for doing that. The point I'm making is there's a lot of people out there that are scoffers. Now, they don't go out and reveal themselves as clear as these fellows did, but nonetheless, they are scoffers. If somebody says what Brother Terry read this morning about this leper, either say he wasn't a leper or that he was a leper, And if you say according to the will of God, then God has to hear you. Or that when Jesus told him, don't tell nobody, that Jesus really was encouraging to go tell somebody. Those are all scoffers. Why? If Jesus was using deceit, could he be called sinless? If I use deceit, you say, well, you're just following Jesus. This car of mine, you know, I know it says it's got 120, but I think that speed arm's off. It's not really 120,000. I think it's around 80. You know, to get them to buy it, it'd be all right for me to say that, to get them to buy it. And I say, this is the best car in the world, and it'll do this, that, and the other, you know. No problem. Well, you know, in our society, they call it puffing. Don't count. You can lie to somebody all you want to. Try to sell them something, they believe your lies, it's too bad for them. But Jesus Christ was not that way. He did not use deceit. Did Jesus know what they was going to do? He absolutely did. But he told them not to. Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the wicked man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't get discouraged. Jesus is coming for his people, and he has a people. And one of the ways you know you're his, that you know his word. I found in my life when I have believed wrong, when I go across that, it'd be something kind of hedging me a little bit. Hedging me, and maybe it would take a long time before it would take root and bring fruit. But it always has. And that's not me that's doing that. That's the Spirit of God doing that. The point I'm making is that I do believe in the priesthood of the believer. We have the Spirit of God that's in us to interpret the Scriptures. We have the Spirit of God to help us against the scoffers. And yes, I know they sound so good sometimes, and they say, I've got these degrees. I've got them from everywhere in the world. Every degree you can think of Scriptures. It doesn't make any difference. The degree, it makes a difference what's in the heart. What the Lord say in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometime we run out of patience when we ought to be patient. James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until you receive the early and latter rains. I think we're the latter rains, the latter fruit, that latter crop, that latter group that'll be harvested when the Lord comes. What do you believe about the creation, the flood, and Christ's virgin birth, crucifixion, resurrection? What do you believe about the tribulation, the rapture, the millennial, the world's destruction, the white throne judgment, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem? To be in the glory with Jesus forever, or in hell, which is the lake of fire, in outer darkness forever. On one side of that white throne, those that would be with Jesus and see him face to face in glory forevermore. On the other side of that seat will be those that will perish. The last grace, the last mercy, the last good thing they'll ever see before they're carried off is Jesus, their judge. It's going to happen like you said, it's going to happen, and one day this earth will be destroyed. One day there'll be a white throne judgment. But before that, he's going to come in the air. He's going to resurrect some, and he's going to rapture out others to ever be with the Lord. Then the earth will start its 1,007 years.